Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had such a tremendous week. No? Okay. We had such a tremendous week. I tell you, we've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, fighting this corrupt system. I tell you, we've been fighting so much that we don't even know where we standing today. I tell you, we got this system here that the people refuse to stand up to and deal with, which is very, very, very unfortunate. I tell you, here we got some very, very breaking news about department itself. Troopers claim, now this was done by a state trooper. He said these things. The state trooper said police policy encouraged racial profiling. Police claim state police policy encouraged racial profiling. Are certain drivers targeted more frequently by the police than others? It is a bold allegation from a Michigan state trooper, said he is a 20-year veteran with the Michigan State Police Department, and said if some people of color, especially and particularly black people feel that the police are constantly stopping them, following them, it is not a coincidence or their imagination. This is said by a state trooper. State trooper said that. It is by design. In an email to the State Department of Civil Rights, Craig wrote, "These policies have led to racial profiling." Now, Craig is the state trooper. He said it starts at the top, commander, getting bonus pay for their post performance. Then troopers get overtime for court appearance or jail run, and a floating quoting system used for state trooper performance evaluation. For instance, if a post average 100 tickets from traffic stop, a trooper needs to bring in 70 to remain in good standard. If I give too many breaks, if I fall below the 70%, now my performance rating is lower, and now I have a post commander that is lowering his money, and he got coming in. Craig said, now I became a target. Now they said that they're after Craig because he is now a whistleblower. Craig claimed the troopers are trained to target minority, and particularly black people, because they may not be under insurance policies, under license. So they are less likely to get a lawyer to fight a traffic stop in court. He also claimed troopers search for drivers they can cite for multiple violations. Troopers call them daily makers. Stop one guy, get 5 tickets bonus. Craig said, go to jail. Got time on my hand. Run sheet bonus, daily makers, individuals that are probably cutting people off. That's the type of thing one of them makes a complaint against me. I had to worry because my post commander is mad at me. He's mad because I'm a whistleblower. I just tell the truth. Because my numbers haven't been met, the requirements, they're angry at me. They want me to write more tickets on black people. Michigan State Police blasted Craig allegations, saying in a statement, now listen to this, what am I doing writing tickets? Trooper Craig has been at administrative leave since October. According to him, they put him on administrative leave since October. He sent this email outlining the allegation to the Department of Civil Rights. in February. The Enforcement and Legal Division of the Department of Civil Rights are reviewing this claim and could assign an investigator to look upon it. Well, here's the thing. Anytime that law enforcement do anything, they get a free pass. They get a free pass. They are allowed to break the law. They are allowed to shoot and kill. And if they shoot and kill, it would be justifiable homicide. This is what we are up against today, where we, the people, have to come together. We have to stop fighting each other. Because when we fight each other, it sets up division. I am very, very, very disappointed with the people that live in the city of Benton Harbor. They don't understand. They need to sit down and analyze their position. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that things are the way they are today. It's sad. It's unfortunate. But we have to take a stand. We have to stand up and fight. Even when the people in Benton Harbor don't want to fight, we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do in order to make things happen. If we don't, now listen to me closely, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Nobody to blame for what goes on in our community but ourselves to move to a whole different level. We got to say no more, no more, no more. And until we able to do so, it's going to continue. Now, here's a state trooper admitting that the Michigan state troopers racially profile black people. Racially profile black people. And nobody says anything. Black people usually don't care about anything until something happens to them. Then they want to fight. It's too late. You need to start fighting today like it's no tomorrow. You need to stand up right now. It's all about the children, the future. We're dealing with the future. And I am so happy that this white state trooper came out of the closet and admitted that state trooper, I would imagine this happens all over the country. I'm fortunate that people don't see it, but now people are beginning to stand up and say no more. This state trooper didn't have to do this. They're pressuring him right now on his job. They want him to retract his statement that the state, Michigan state troopers, racially profiled black people intentionally and will write them as many as 5 tickets. He said, the more the merrier. And they have a quota. He says it. For the whole district, they need 100 tickets every single month. And he said that it was wrong. It says wrong the way they do black people. Anytime you have a white person say it is wrong the way they do black people, we better think about it. We better talk about it. We better decide what we're going to do. Because, believe me, it's me today and you tomorrow. So let's stand up and fight back. Let's show them what we're capable of doing. Because we are so divided up. This is how they get away with this stuff. And they've been getting away with this stuff for years. We are so divided up that we don't know which way is up. And we got to stop being bought and sold by these people. We got to stop it. But on that note, let me bring in my next caller, 759-4368. Hey, Reverend Pinckney here. How you doing today?
Good.
Is this you, LaDonna?
Yes, it's LaDonna. How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm doing great, girl. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm blessed. I can't complain.
All right, all right. Well, we know that we have to keep it moving, don't we?
Yes, we do, Reverend Pinckney.
Yes, yes. And you know what? You got one of the strongest causes to fight for in the whole state of Michigan. And I take my hat off to you. And, LaDonna, I want you to know that we love you, my wife and myself. And there's nothing too great for you because we're going to continue to stand behind you. Your son, Martell, was found hung in the Barron County Jail. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened and some of the process, please?
I got a second autopsy. I've been treated so unfair far as the process and finding out what all happened to my son, Martell. He had methanol, ethanol, isoprenol, acetone in his system. He had blunt force trauma to the torso, and he also had a back contusion. None of this was explained to me why or what even happened to him. Prosecutor Septic didn't even want to share his autopsy with my private autopsy examiner because they were trying for the PGA to open up around here near St. Joe Harbor. And I feel that's a lot of reason why they hurried up and closed my son's case because they didn't want to lose anything. Because this is a very hard situation to deal with. I've also found out that they hired.
LaDonna, you're going in and out on me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. All right. So you were saying Mike Septic didn't even want to. Really didn't even want to investigate the whole matter, did he? Hello?
I'm here.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We understand. You're going in and completely out on different times. So let's start at the beginning. Let's go back to Mike Septic. Let's talk about him.
Okay.
He's a low-life scumbag. That's what he is. And it's unfortunate that I wasn't here when all this went down because I would have definitely challenged that slime ball. But finish telling us about the autopsy.
His autopsy read that he had methanol, ethanol, isoprenol, acetone in his system. He had blunt force trauma to the torso, and he had a back contusion. Barron County was allowed to investigate themselves, which I found very inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Septic just basically laughed at me in my face. It was like it was just really no concern, you know, because they just said he just hung himself. I said, well, what about the people that y'all had hired in there that wasn't licensed or registered to even be doing the job that they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
No mention of that has even come up, or no one even cared, you know, to even let this be known, you know. They just, you know, tried to blame the family and never really even asked me if they could see my second autopsy. My second autopsy has blunt force trauma to the torso and a back contusion. And even when you look at my son's autopsy, you can tell that he either got hit by a car or he fell off a roof. That's how hard the impact was, the injuries to his body. But they just really just threw my son's death under the bus. They were allowed to do his death certificate. I wasn't even allowed to see him that night. They called the police on me. Had the police meet me at Lakeland. they had the doors blocked. I couldn't even go in and identify my son.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know if it was him or not. But I just want justice for my son, and I'm trying to do the best that I can do. But I feel like I'm limited to what I can do. I've touched bases with a lot of people, you know, about this. I feel like my second autopsy should have been enough to prove that it was some type of criminal activity done there. They're beating the mess out these inmates.
Mm-hmm.
I have recordings of my son arguing with jail guards in there, them pulling tables out.
Mm-hmm.
As well, in my autopsy, my son got tasered on the right side of his neck and on the left side of his groin. No one has explained that to me. It's just I get nothing, and I'm like, you know, after like, I don't know what else to do, Reverend Pinkney.
Wow, you know, one of the things that's so important, we have to understand what we're dealing with and understand who these people are. I know Barron County. And I'm not saying this to you know, I know this is going to probably say, I believe your son was murdered.
I do too, Randy.
Yeah, I believe that he was, just by knowing Barron County, Sheriff Bailey, and that crew over there, I believe it. And Mike Sepp would be working with him. He's a slime ball. And we are so divided up that we have no strength when it comes to fighting these people, because people from Benton Harbor won't stand up and take a stand. I have to go all the way to Detroit to recruit people to Chicago and around the country to stand up and fight for Benton Harbor. That doesn't make any sense at all, LaDonna. And I tell you, yeah, but we're not going to quit right now. We're not going to give up. We're going
to
keep your son's name out there. As much as we can. We're going to be talking about your son so people will know exactly what happened to him. And if it's all right with you, I want to tell people that he was murdered. And he was murdered
yes,
by
sir.
The Sheriff's Department. And I know
yes,
that
sir.
He was murdered. And thing is, we have to undress these people. You see, we're so messed up in the head that, LaDonna, that we don't know how to fight together. Families and everybody should come together and say, hey, let's do something about this.
You're right. You're
so
right.
Yeah. And we need to. Your son was a young man. He had no right to have his life ended the way it did. And they know it, but they so used to getting away with this stuff. They know that we don't have a black a politician who will stand up and tell the truth about Barron County. They're so afraid and so intimidated that it's almost ridiculous. You know, we put this mayor in office so he could stand up for us, and all he's been doing is slapping us in the face.
Yes, sir,
you know?
Pretty much. I took my second autopsy that way as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's just, you know, I'm trying my best. You know, but I'm also limited, Reverend Pinkney. I know my son loved his life. You know, even under the investigation, it's a lot of stuff that's just been thrown under the bus. I have a nurse on camera giving my son something. She was never mentioned in the investigation. They withheld personal property of my son's that I have on video. That, you know, they told me that they didn't have. They gave me everything. And I'm like, no, you didn't. My son told me to be looking for certain things once he got incarcerated. He told me, he said, Mama, he said, these people in here is not right, Mama. He said, somebody needs to file a grievance on them. He was actually in the process of reaching out to Miss Elizabeth McCree. She missed a lot of his phone calls, but he was trying to reach out to Miss Elizabeth McCree while he was in there. And, it was just depressing, you know. He was reaching out to jail staff, doctors in there, and it was like they just like just blew him under the bus. I believe if he had the adequate help that he was crying out for, my son would still be alive today. He would be here with his 2-year-old son, Oliver Walker, who's been life itself. And Martell had been incarcerated before, but, you know, that was no biggie. You know, they tried to say it was a suicide letter. That was not a suicide letter. That was just a man stressing for his woman how much he loved her and his son. And they took it and made him out of a straight circuit. They took my son's death. And I believe they treated us like we were a circuit. Michael Patrick was straight. What about laughing in my face? My voice, my concern. And you just don't know how that made me feel.
Well, you know, one thing, yeah, but you know, LaDonna, we have to continue this fight. We have to make sure they understand that we're not going to go away. And I think when we have our demonstration, you might be working at that time, May 26th at 11 o'clock. We're probably going to have maybe 400 or 500 people coming in. And they be coming in from all over the country, but that's a Saturday. I know you work most Saturdays, and I would like for you to come out and speak and tell these people about your son, and let them know that you know that we're not going to give up. And when you talk to them, I want you to tell these people that we're not going to give up, and I need your support. That's the word to you. I need your support. I need your help. It's going to be lawyers there. It's going to be all kind of people there. They'll be coming in, and you ask them for their help. See, one of the things we don't do, we you know, sometimes we feel we're so beat down that we don't ask people to help us when we need help. When you need help, you got to ask for it. You know, you got to come. Sometimes we got so many people, LaDonna, we got so many people who don't really know what to do because they never experienced anything on this level. What you're saying now is... Yeah, right. You're one of them. What you're saying is so incredible. We know they murdered your son. And it's not even a doubt in my mind because this is what they do. They had tasered a man to death over there. They do everything. They cover it up. Always justifiable homicide. And I'm so sick of them, you know, but... that we have to stand up. We have to fight back. We have to keep your son's name out there. We got to make sure that his name is out there and hanging in there and they so that they'll never forget. And if you could, you can even when you come out, have a picture of him on a sign or something like that. Because they're going to be out there. You're going to have, you're going to have the state troopers. You're going to have the sheriff department. You're going to have Benton Harbor Police Department. You're going to have them all there. But we want them to know that we're not going to forget Martell. We are not going to forget him, and we're not going to let you forget him. See, that's the thing.
No, sir.
We can't let them forget. Because when they go home and look in the mirror, I hope the ones that actually did it, I hope they can see his face. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
but we're going to keep fighting, LaDonna. Donna, know me. You know how I do things.
Yes,
and you know, you're one of mine. So I got to make sure that we do what we need to do. Well, listen, you got about 2 minutes. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you need. And ask the people to help you. Ask them.
Yes, I'm just asking everybody that, you know that knew Martell, if they would just come out and speak up for him. Everybody that knew Martell know that he loved his son, he loved family, he loved life. I don't feel like his life should just go in vain. He was a great father, a great son, and I just need the community to come out and just, you know, a lot of people know a lot of things. A lot of people are scared to talk. A lot of people have been threatened, which is unfair to them and their families as well. But I just need people to just stay encouraged and just help us just find out what happened to my son and that justice prevails in the process of this. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know exactly who did this to my son, but whoever did this, I need justice. right is right, wrong is wrong. Because if we do something wrong, they're going to come after us. Why we can't come after them without being afraid for our own lives? I've been told not to even drive at night or stop for Bearing County Sheriff Department for endangerment of my life. Why should I have to be in fear for my life if I need to go to the corner store at night? From everybody to come out and support Martell Hanley. He had a great life, and he wasn't done living his life. And I believe my son was murdered. I know him too well to know that he would have said goodbye to me if that was his choice. And I have evidence and facts, not making stuff in my head. I have proof that my son did not commit his own life. And I just appreciate your time, and thank you.
And you know what? And we're gonna keep his name out there, and we're gonna make sure that people know who Martell Hanley was, and we're gonna keep it going. And LaDonna, that's a promise. And May 26th is the day. If you can find time, about 11 o'clock, to even come out and speak a few words, you definitely will definitely have the mic. And you will have the attention of the people that's there. So, you know, I know it's a work day, but I, you know,
that's okay.
You know, whatever.
I'll make it my business to be there. I'll make it my business to be there.
That's right. And then bring some of your family members too, because you know they're my family members too. So you just bring them out and let's do what we can. And even on the radio show, we're gonna at least talk once a month about this, so people. Because I got a huge listening audience all over the world, even in France. I got even people in Russia listening to me on the Blog Talk Radio, the Pinkney Show, and they don't know. And I want you, you can say whatever your heart desire, and you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of Mike Sepik, Paul Bailey, none of them, because I'm here to protect you. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you get it. And on that note, LaDonna, I got to let you go.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. You take care of yourself. You hear? All right now. Let me bring in my good friend, Robert McKay from beautiful Chicago. Robert McKay, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm listening.
All right.
Can you hear me?
All right. I can hear you well. I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Yeah, good afternoon, Reverend Pinkney. It's good to talk with you again.
Yes,
I was listening to LaDonna.
Yes.
And Martell was murdered. You know, I looked at photos of his after the autopsy. They sutured his body up. And when they do something like that, they remove organs. So we don't know. I'm sure that there was nothing reported about what was taken from his body. But there has to be an action plan to come out of all the conversation. Because we've been talking 20 years from now, about the same issues. And nothing is going to be done about it until we take some action on these people. And Martell, just like Sandra Bland, just like the young men that were found floating in the river over there in Benton Harbor. They were all murdered, but...
Yeah. Four or five of them found in the river here. And,
right.
And matter of fact, listen to this. When they found, they weren't even going to search for Bulldog until I made them search for Bulldog. Tell them they didn't want to bring in them cadaver dogs. They didn't want to do none of that stuff. And tell them maybe he just ran away.
Yeah. Well, and then there was one who was castrated and floating in the river. They said that was Bulldog. They claimed they investigated and said there was no foul play.
That's how they do. They
so all of his injuries were self-inflicted. He castrated himself and threw himself in the river.
And anyway, he had a little ponytail that they said that was cut off.
Okay.
So that too. Are you in traffic or are you outside?
I'm in track. Can you hear me? Can you hear traffic noise?
Yeah, I can hear the wind. So,
Oh, yeah.
But
let's see. Yeah, is that off? Is that still going?
It's still going, but it's a little better.
Okay, let me, I'm on the expressway.
All right.
What I'm doing, yeah, what they've done, this is mass murder, and they're doing it one at a time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the I Fear for My Life language comes out of the Supreme Court. It was 1985. There was a case called Tennessee versus Garner.
Mm-hmm.
There was some cop in, I forgot which town in Tennessee, but they murdered this young man. He was running away, but they, and the Supreme Court, they went, apparently they, this case went to Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that if an officer informs a defendant that they're under arrest and he flees, they can stop him by any means necessary. So
absolutely,
he shoots you in the back, and then they come up with this phrase, I fear for my life. You didn't hear
right.
that until about maybe 20 years ago. And it's used more and more frequent now that it's an assassination. It's a new form of lynching.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And then, right, because, you know, lynching is a black eye. You know, they don't want you to, because what they've done, they've divided us up. Like you said, people won't come out because they ever so brainwashed, so conditioned to with fear that people will not come out and stand up. Because they fear, they place the fear in the people. But then these cops can come out and say, I fear for my life. And actually, they implement the fear on the public. So the public will stand back and then and get murdered. And then they have this one scheme they call suicide by a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Where they forced me to shoot him by coming after me. And that's all a game they play. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I fear for my life.
Yeah.
And that comes out of the Tennessee versus Garner case. Anyone can look that up. And it came out of Supreme Court in 1985. So, this is mass murder. It's mass murder, what you're speaking on. LaDonna's family, our prayers go out to her. Support goes out to her. But Martell, I believe they said that Martell's case was investigated and said there was no foul play.
Well, they always say that. That's the language
yeah.
they use. You know, the, yeah. you know they and also, a, and remember this, they also shot down karate. They shot him down.
Oh yeah.
And
and
claimed he had a gun and he shot and he didn't no more shoot than I did. And but
right.
the point is, if police officers say that somebody shot, then they shot according to what we had today. It's unfortunate that we have to go through stuff like this. Even being stopped by a cop, you have to fear for your life. No telling what you might do, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't take even running away. I've seen a video where a young man in Oklahoma with a woman, highway patrolman, shot this young man. She claimed he was reaching inside of the window to get a weapon,
yeah.
but the window was closed on his
right.
vehicle. But
absolutely.
She killed him, and then she got away with it.
Of course.
That's what they do. And they had, these cops wear cameras, mm-hmm. but then it's more in their favor, even when they're doing wrong. They still come out, and they're supported by the court system, because they go and prosecute
mm-hmm.
or not prosecute as they deem appropriate for the conditions.
See, one thing that, you know, they keep us divided. They, as long as we stay divided, you know, they can
yeah.
win this battle. Long as we stay
yeah.
divided up, they can win because there's strength in numbers. I know that, and that's one.
Oh, absolutely.
They use their weapons against me because I know that there's strength in numbers, and I believe that if enough people got together and stood up against this corrupt system, we will get justice around you. Because they are no better than to try something like this. Martell Hadley is deceased now, and it's unfortunate that something like this goes on and we can't get justice behind it. We know that they are none but murderers. That's all they are. They murder people and they get away with it.
Now, to show you the strength of numbers, you know, they keep us divided, distracted. This social engineering, and it's a science now. Look at this movie that just came out this year, Black Panther. That movie earned more than $1 billion. And
absolutely,
to have that kind of support, to have that kind of mass support for a movie and not deal with the issues that are going to affect you every day, affect your life, you know, is that's how we are manipulated in the system.
Yeah.
You know, they can get you out to support that and then come back and have people murdered coming out of the theater. But there's no support, you know, to rally around that person or some injustice. But because we think that justice was done on the silver screen. There's no longer need to struggle. You know, we've seen it. We just won. We just got success. We made progress on the screen. And you come back out, you face reality, and then we've been back into the dumbville.
Yeah, yeah. And you know one thing, Robert, what you're saying is so powerful. But, you know, like, we got all these superstars making millions and millions of dollars, Robert. And I was talking to one of my good friends, and he was saying, oh, you know, these basketball players, they give back to the community. I said, they give back to the community the way they want them to give it. You should go inside your community. Take care of your community. We need health centers in our community. We need grocery stores in our community. We need gas stations in our community. We need other things, clothing stores. We need stuff in our community. And you have the resources to do it. Why give that money to the government who's going to build up the military with all your money? Doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, and that's where it takes the people rising up to get this government changed, because the government collects your money to do exactly what you're saying, but you know they spend billions of dollars on one plane, a $2 billion plane.
And that bombing in Syria, you know that cost over $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think of how many schools. Go ahead.
Man, people you couldn't fail. You know.
Right.
I just don't get it. I don't understand how people think. I don't understand why they would even. It's all about the people. We shouldn't have no one in this country hungry. And you know what? We got to love to say that the reason that they don't have food stuff is because they're lazy. They love to say that. Or they can pull themselves up by a bootstrap, and the bootstraps can cut, or they don't, or they're bootless, one or the other.
Right.
So that's what we get in this world today. And it's unfortunate that we don't get the big picture. And here's another thing. We cannot be materialistic. When we become materialistic, Robert, we're in for trouble.
Oh, they got you.
Yeah, they got you just where they want you, because they know that you want to go out and get you a Cadillac. You want to go out and do this. You want to wear nice clothes. You want to do all this stuff. This is what they want you to do. That way you can be bought and sold.
Absolutely.
It's been amazing, Robert. I tell you. I'm hoping that our people will soon wise up and start doing things just different. Our education is in total shambles.
Yeah.
And nobody, look, 20 years ago, I was going to these school board meetings, telling them about what to do about the school system. You know, take our children back to the basics and start educating our children. And you know what? We already know what to do. See, you can have so much education, you be an educated fool. That's what you'd be.
Right. That's right.
You know, And that's what that's how they messed up this whole system. Now the whole system is in total shambles. And they brought in and then Leonard Seawood. They thought that he was a product of Benton Harbor. But he thought that he was above the people here. He thought that he was one of them. He thought that he was with Whirlpool, like his brother-in-law, Hightower. He thought that they were connected with Whirlpool so much that they can do whatever they want to do. And he found out the hard way. And they don't need you no more. When they don't need you no more, you know, you could end up anywhere.
Look at Bill Cosby. Look at Bill Cosby. They no longer need Bill Cosby. He's an elder man. He's they use him up. He sold all the Jell-O pudding. He's made millions for was it NBC and other adventures he's done for them, and now he's been thrown under the bus. You know, people will say, he's guilty of whatever, you know, of molestation or giving women quaaludes. But, you know, the whole thing is that, and that's the Me Too movement. They use this Me Too movement to go after him, to get support, to help bring him down.
When it comes to Cosby, I don't know whether he did it or he didn't do it. And that woman, the one that claims that he did it to her, she looked like a horse in the face. I don't believe.
It came out that she's a lesbian.
She what?
She's a lesbian. That's reported on in the news now.
You could tell. To me, I tell you, she reminds me of a male horse. That's what she reminds me of. But here's my thing. She was telling other people that she was going to get her a guy to do something and sue him.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they refused. The judge did not allow the testimony to come in there because the woman, I believe, it was her roommate, had already signed a affidavit or written some kind of statement that stated that this woman's scheme to get money out of someone wealthy. And right now, they've been successful. He's going to appeal it.
Here's what I say. Let God decide. Let him deal with this. Cosby did all this, which in a way, I'm convinced that he did do some of these things. But that one right there, he must have been really desperate. And I feel bad for his poor wife.
I do too. Yeah.
I don't feel bad for him. You see, because I don't.
Oh no! Not if he. Yeah. Not if he's guilty, right? But he says he's innocent.
He got a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude about black folks.
Oh yeah, I know. I heard him. Some of the statements he made about black people being shiftless and lazy.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, it's Bill Cosby, right?
Yeah. And now, in the prison system, he gonna have if some of these guys have a flashback, he gonna have the time of his life.
Right.
It ain't gonna
he's
be
going
great.
Into. He's going into a state prison. He's not going into federal prison.
No, he's going to state prison. Absolutely, state of Philadelphia. But listen, I got to move on, my brother. But I appreciate you, and we just have to stay focused, and we got to keep Martell Hadley in on our mind and on our lips, so people can understand exactly who he is. You know, understand?
Yeah, well, not only Martell Hadley, you need to create the list of all those murders that have occurred. You know, we don't call them suspected murders. They were murders. These young men.
They are the unsolved murders. That's what they are.
Unsolved murders, right.
Unsolved murders.
And those are civil rights violations. If nothing else, the federal government can come in on a civil rights violation. I understand, but it has to be, you need 50 people to sign a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, because individuals are not going to do it. It's going to have to take 50 you're going to have to get at least 50 people to agree, 50 or more, to do letters and sign a complaint against the Barron County Barron County and Benton Harbor Police Department, Sheriff's Department, and Police Department to file these complaints and then send it on up the ladder to the federal government.
Wow, you know what?
That's the only way you're going to do it.
I think on May 26th, I think we will go out, we'll get a petition together and get those people to sign. And one way or the other, we're going to get justice for them. So that's about
it. Oh, absolutely.
But listen, I got to go. You got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
Okay, and then I just want to tell you, give you support, keep up the good work. We're divided, and that you made a your point about being divided is the key, because we as a divided people have no strength against this system that we're going up that we're up against, and the system will eat us alive, right? So
said it all.
On that note, make sure that see if you can get LaDonna to come out and speak to the people and get. Even people who are incarcerated, wrongfully incarcerated, is on the same level, because their rights have been violated.
Absolutely.
So we can get these families together and just talk to them, tell them, hey, we need your support. Your family was affected. Your loved one was murdered. Your loved one is incarcerated, wrongfully incarcerated, because many of these people are innocent. And they find time and time again, they will come back and say, well, this person did not commit the crime. Evidence shows that he did not commit the crime in which he has been accused and convicted of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my brother. I got to let you know. I got to bring in my good friend, Rozzy Roz. Rozzy Roz from beautiful California. Rozzy Roz, talk to me.
Yes, I'm here, and I'm so sorry. Tell LaDonna that my prayers are with her and her family. It's awful, and I talked to Mike Sepik. I know what kind of a person
you sure did. You sure did talk to Mike Sepik. That's right. You called him from California.
I did. I talked to them all to tell them what they did to you and everybody else is so horrible. There's no justice in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Quite the contrary. It's awful, and I'm so sorry for her. I'd like to reach out and give her a big hug and the family. It's awful to kill your son.
Yes.
It's awful.
Well, you can spread the word for her. That's how we're going to do this. Like I said, I got people from France. I got people from Denmark. I got people from Russia. I got people all over on the line. And I want to keep that name out there. I want the people from all over the world to hear this, and we're going to spread the word about Martell Hadley. And his mother's name is LaDonna. And we're going to make sure that we get the word out and keep spreading the word. But anyway, tell me about you now. I need to know how things going with you. Talk to me.
Well, my case is so disgusting. If we're talking about injustice, we're talking about the California workers' comp system and the national workers' comp system. How they delay and they deny and they want me to die off. I didn't accept their settlement, which was too low. They destroyed my life. And now I used to get some money for house cleaning, and I haven't even got those checks at all again. And they're playing games with me. I went to the dentist, had a root canal and a crown, and my dentist is fighting for me, and I wish my two lawyers, Roxana Sultani and Sylvia Jew out of the Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Law Firm, Workers' Comp Law Firm, would be fighting for me. I find my female attorneys are worse than the male attorneys that I've had, if that could be. But they're awful.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Roz, we always talk about you got to keep that pressure on them. See, some of these attorneys, they're officers of the courts. They don't, they don't really care about you and me, So
well,
we
have
to keep that personal.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt you. They have to make a certain amount of money working for the law firm. So, that legal term, screw you over, which everybody knows across the world. So mm-hmm. then they only want to make a certain amount, and they don't care if justice is served in your case. They don't care at all. They just want to make this money. You're just a number to them. So they can make this certain amount.
Wow. It's so amazing. And what happened to you? You know, stuff like that. It's happening every day in these schools now. The schools are out of control because they want them to be out of control. They don't care no more. Even the students don't care. You got the system itself. They trying to take more money out of the school system so the school system can go crazy again and continue just like it is. You was a victim of assault inside the school system, which is unfortunate
right.
that they should have been paying you from day one.
Right. Well, they did pay me for the first 10 years, but they never would send me to the proper doctors. And after starting 2010, they lowered my money to nothing. They stopped the doctors because Dr. John Stahlberg wrote 2 unsubstantiated medical reports. This is a doctor. Doctors, Hippocratic oath, do no harm. So for $16,770, that's $700 a page, he did harm. And he admitted under oath that he did not have the evidence for it. And Judge Cohen, Gerald Cohen in the Van Nuys Courthouse, who is retired, had dementia. So if there is a hotshot lawyer out there who would like to take my case, I'm looking for a hotshot young lawyer who wants his name out there. I have all the evidence. My story is all over the internet. Everybody knows about me. When they want advice, they call me. So where are you, hotshot lawyer? There's millions of dollars to be made here. So can you imagine that they had this judge who had dementia on my case? Remember I used to say he was mentally incompetent?
Yes, you did. I remember that. I remember that.
And he made a medical diagnosis, and he's not a doctor. In workers' comp cases, you're physically injured, but they like to give you a mental condition. That way they can lower your case so they don't have to pay you. It's easier that way.
That's right. Hey, listen, Rosie, I gotta go. I got another person that I want to bring in real fast, but
okay.
Take
so I love everybody. Blessings to everybody, and think positive. And we're together. We're going to have the miracle, and we're going to win.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rosie Roz. That is my friend, my dear friend, Rosie Roz from beautiful California. Let me bring in my other friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there? Hello. 330-923-1260. Are you there? Okay. Let me move on. Interesting. Well, anything to keep you busy. We are in this crisis today, and we need to make sure that we're doing what needs to be done. I had this incident, and I'm talking about state troopers. When the program opened up, I talked about how state troopers were actually racial profiling black people. They've been racial profiling black people so much that they had a quota. And if they do a good job, the commander of the post get a bonus. According to them, troopers are not required to write a certain amount of traffic tickets. That's what they said. They are not required to do it, but if they do it, the commander of that post get a bonus. So what do you think that they're going to do? In order to stay in good with the commander, you're going to go out and write bogus tickets, which is such an amazing thing. And this was reported, now listen to this, on Fox News. Yeah, it came out of Detroit. It says, stop one guy, get 5 tickets bonus. Jail, get time on my run sheet, bonus. Daily Marker versus stopping five individuals that are probably cutting people off. That type of thing. One of them makes a complaint against, one of them made a complaint against him. This is the whistleblower. We got to change. We got to change the way we do business. And when we talk about Barron County, now, I just got back from Detroit, and it was my wife's birthday, and we celebrated her birthday for 6 days, well, 5 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some of my friends took her out to one of the most wonderful restaurants that a person can go to in Detroit. And we had a conversation that was so interesting that believed that the world is like it is today. If you talk with a person and they tell you that this is what's going on in Barron County, nobody will believe it. You got the sheriff department physically attacking women, female women that's in jail. Nobody goes to jail. The sheriff department is not going to jail. They won't go to jail. All these women that said that they were, like Bill Cosby, all the women that said this, he goes to jail. But in Barron County, all the women that said this go to jail. Matter of fact, they had one cop on, Backpage. He would go to the hotel with this prostitute, with his pistol and uniform on, and have sex with this prostitute. He's related to the sheriff, Sheriff Bailey. And nobody says nothing. Nobody. Which is so unfortunate. Change the way we do business. We got to figure out a way how we going to come together and neutralize the sheriff department or law enforcement, period. State troopers, sheriff department, city police, you know. We got to figure out a way what we're going to do to protect the future of our children. Or right now, we're losing this battle. We're losing the battle today because we are so divided up. Unity is the only answer. There's power in numbers. We have to figure out a way how we're going to work this thing. How are we going to continue to battle this thing? How are we going to do what needs to be done? And we can do it. We can do it. We can move to a level that these people have never saw before. There's so much strength in numbers. If you are materialistic, you can be bought and sold. And that's what happened to black people. For a few dollars, we sell our soul to the devil. I'm telling you, there is a place called hell. And if you continue to sell your people out, hell is going to be your home. You know who I'm talking to. You know who I'm talking about. We can no longer continue at this pace. We got to start educating our own children. We have to come up with an idea to educate the children. Because going to this school system is ruining our children. They will never be successful going to the school system that we have in place today. You living in an all-black community. Well, I shouldn't say all-black because it's about 92% African-American. School board all messed up. City council all messed up. And nobody's talking about that. We can no longer stand up and say no more. We got to stand up and do what we need to do. We have to say no more, rather. We got to say enough is enough. We got to take this thing to a whole different level. We have to do this for the future of our children. And if we decide that it's too much for us, then your day is going to come. Remember, it's me today and you tomorrow. On that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight. We have just ran out of time. I just want to thank everybody for listening. And I tell you, this will go all over the world. Thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you.